Hello and greetings to all economic activists in all around the world. I hope you are doing well and fine. In the previous podcasts, we talked about the art of persuasion, how to present our ideas, how to make requests, and how to make offers. We decided that in this session, we'll focus on understanding the mind and the needs so that we can sell our products or services. Before diving into the main topic, let me start by saying that right now, you're listening to various sounds, mainly my voice. Maybe you are playing this in your car or listening on your mobile phone or from your laptop or computer. I've emphasized this many times. If you want results and you're not just passively listening like to a radio, but are actually seeking results, then the approach is different. You need to listen to the file as is. Speeding it up won't help. You have to fully grasp every word. That's the first key point for those who want to achieve results. Secondly, you should have a pen and a paper handy. Just like in my previous sessions, you should be writing down every single point. Not just general ideas, but all the details, instructions. You need to remember what's said about each point and then put it into practice. Do you remember that saying, hear, understand, believe, and then act to achieve salvation? Understanding something isn't just a casual note like, yeah, I got it. You need to focus fully on me. Not multitasking, listening to me while doing something else. You need to hear, understand, and then believe and implement what you hear. If you don't write things down, you won't remember. A week later, everything will be forgotten. The same way that if you didn't take notes from previous sessions, you might remember the general concepts, but not the critical details that lead to results. General concepts are only for understanding, but putting things into practice requires diving into the specifics. You have to know exactly what actions you need to take. Some people ask a lot of questions because they struggle with the details, while others ask nothing at all, either because they haven't tried to implement anything or because they've figured, for example, things out on their own. More than 80% of people don't take action, so they don't face challenges. It was just a passing interest. If you want to get results, I'm emphasizing again, go back and re-listen to previous episodes. Take notes and use them in your business. Apply what you've learned, and you'll see results if you're aiming for them. Today, we are going to talk about personality analysis in sales. When I'm speaking with potential clients, I need to understand their personality. If I know their personality, I can understand who a potential customer is, what it means for someone to be a lead or a prospect, and what the definitions of a lead or signal are. If these terms don't apply to your business, then ignore them. But if they do, knowing this will be beneficial for you. The more you understand the different types of customers, the higher your chance of success. I've interacted with various customer types and negotiated with them. Even in our own branding team, we have over 100 people working in sales, both domestically and for export. When I visit them, I listen to how they talk to customers, whether in person or via surveillance systems. I observe whether they follow the principles of negotiation. I've even asked ask some traders, sit down and talk. I want to hear how you converse with clients. In different workshops, I've noticed that those who don't sell much often fail to identify their customers. What does it mean to identify the customer? It's not about knowing their age, location, or what product they want. It's about understanding the customer's mind. Customers express their needs based on what they require. That's the key. For instance, a customer might ask for a podcast, say chocolate, and then ask, where are you located? If you are in, for example, in one city, in one country around the world, you're telling, okay, I'm from this city. The customer might say, okay, I'll get in touch later, but they don't. And that's a goodbye. You didn't realize that you triggered something negative in their mind. Why did they ask, where are you located? It's not because they think poorly of your city or country, or prefer another city. You need to understand why the customer is asking that question. Maybe they've based in, for example, another city, another country, and are calculating how long it would take for the products to reach them, and adding up the shipping cost and deciding it's not worth it. If you had realized this, you might have responded differently. Like saying, I can ship it from every city, every country that you want to you. The follow-up questions would change. This is how you understand the customer's need. You need to grasp why the customer is asking certain questions and what their underlying needs are. When they ask, where are you located? They aren't just curious. There is a hidden need behind every question, and it's your job to uncover it. My dear friends, how do I discover the customer's mind and needs? Let me share with you the first step in understanding customers' needs. Okay, professor, please go ahead with listening. I want you to remember every step. And this is the first point. When you start speaking, the first few words you say will set the tone for everything. What do you mean by that? I mean that the customer decides whether to buy from you based on initial words you say. They may decide to purchase your product, or the deal may fall through entirely and without you even realizing it. Yes, those first few words in the negotiation are critical. Imagine you want to make a request from me. Let's say to buy some chocolate, but you haven't even made the call yet. I could respond in several different tones, and those tones can drastically change the outcome. One tone might be this, hello, yes, speak. Right there, you decide not to buy. Another tone could be like this. Hello dear, how can I help you? I'm at your service. Or I could say, hello, why are you calling? Who gave you my number? Where did you find me? With that tone, you probably won't want to continue the conversation. Then there is a more polite tone. Who referred you to me? See, the tone makes a big difference. So dear friends, pay close attention. The opening words in a negotiation are incredibly impactful. How you greet and start the conversation can make or break the sale. When you're connecting with customers, remember that the initial greeting is essentially your request, your attempt to make a connection. Your approach should align with their needs and expectations. Now, here's something interesting. You approach the customer to sell something, while they approach you with the intention not to buy. It's a defensive mechanism. The customer's initial response is defensive. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself picking up a stronger weapon to fight back. But this isn't a physical battle. It's a battle of words, of communication, of negotiation. If you fight, it's a mistake. You can't win a customer by fighting. No one gives you their money in the middle of a conflict. Instead, you need to understand why they are hesitant and address their concerns. The big mistake happens right here. Thinking that you need to fight to win the customer over. I remember when I worked as a salesperson about 10-15 years ago, selling Alice Soda, a brand nobody knew back then. We were its distributors. Before that, I used to sell toys. I would bring them from another city to another city. And balloons, umbrella, all sorts of items. Then I went around trying to sell them. I often heard the response like, "Our purchasing manager isn't here right now. Come back another time." There was no purchasing manager. It was just an excuse. I remember back in 2011, I used to make sales calls myself, trying to sell educational robots. I would hear response like, "I need to think about it. The purchasing manager isn't available," or "I need to consult with the management." These are the excuses customers use to delay the purchase. Once they buy time, what happens? Only a small percentage will actually follow up. More than 80% won't respond to your calls again. So my dear, you need to understand the customer's mind and their needs. We started analyzing these behaviors over time. Why do customers act like this? I'm selling a product that they clearly need. So why do they need to respond this way? What does it mean when they say the purchasing manager isn't available? It's not a matter of formality or class. They're simply trying to say no in a polite way. They don't want to confront you with a flag out, no, so they delay. The majority of people give these types of excuses. So a critical lesson to learn is that customers are experts at buying time. If you want to grow in your business, you need to be mindful of this. How do you deal with these types of customers who behave this way? How do you succeed in selling to them? This is the essential question. If you manage to sell to them, it doesn't mean they won't use the same excuse with others. The same excuse they give you. "We've already getting this from someone else," or "We don't need this." And oh, they will use the with others too. Successful follow-up is essential, and it's often misunderstood. Many people mistake follow-up for being clingy or annoying. But following up doesn't mean you should latch on the customer like a leech and never let go. Thinking once they buy, my problem is solved. That's the wrong approach. Follow-up should be done with care and professionalism. At our business school, we've held 5 or 6 sessions specifically about effective customer follow-up, and these sessions contain the key tips for practical implements. When a customer tells you, "Let me think about it and I'll get back to you," how do you handle it? I've refined persuasion techniques over time. Figure out how to respond so that they can't easily dismiss me with that phrase. You should make it clear, "I'm not here to sell you something right now. Our current meeting is just to get acquainted, for you to know me and my product, and for me to understand your needs. Let's take our time and review everything together. If it doesn't work out, there is no pressure at all." This way you make sure that the customer is the least willing to hear you out. before deciding to accept or reject the deal. Imagine a scenario where a young man wants to propose to a girl, but her father doesn't even allow him to come over for a conversation. Why doesn't he allow it? He has his reasons. Phrase, he thinks the young man is a drug addict, a thief, or maybe their family cultures don't align. The point is, the father doesn't even give him the opportunity to talk, and as a result, no negotiation happens. This is similar to a business situation where you hear responses like, I need to think about it, or I need to speak with my manager. They don't actually want to talk to you. They just don't want to give you a chance. You need to use techniques. Say the right words to at least get permission to speak. Only then you can get to the core of the issue. Why are they rejecting you? Have they even understood who you are? I often tell my students, when you're making a proposal or trying to convince someone, whether it's a 5 minutes conversation, a 10 minutes one, or half an hour, has the other party even understood your strengths? Or are they operating on some assumptions about you? Like thinking you're a thief. You have to address this during the negotiation process. Don't jump to step five. Don't start talking about the products or giving examples of its quality before establishing understanding. For instance, someone calls and offers you a wardrobe handle for example, $50, but you don't need it. They could lower the price to, for example, $40, but it wouldn't matter. Why? Because the need hasn't been established yet. And here you are already talking about price. That's your big mistake. Discussing price at the beginning when it's actually the final step in a negotiation. The value needs to be clear before you start discussing costs. It's like watching a movie. Imagine if someone told you the ending of a great film like Scarface and then said, now go back and watch it from the beginning. Or imagine if someone told you the result of a big football match like Barcelona versus Real Madrid and then said, watch the game from the start now. Would you still be interested? Most people won't because they already know the result. The thrill is gone. So make sure you don't reveal the price too early. That's one of the biggest mistakes. Jumping to the end of the conversation before the other person fully understands the value of what you're offering. Now moving on the second point in sales. Many people you interacted with or who reach out to you aren't just looking to buy. They are looking to invest. They see you as a business figure and they want your opinion. If you go in just to sell them something immediately, they might resist even harder. You need to understand that their relationship with you could be deeper than just a transaction. They might be seeking your guidance on where to invest their money. So instead of saying, do you want to buy this product from me? Try something like this. Are you interested in investing in a specific type of product? That approach invests them into a conversation rather than pushing them towards a sale. Another thing to understand is the difference between persistence and being a nuisance. Some people mistake following up with being overly pushing, but follow up when done right shows dedication and care. We teach in business schools that follow-up should be done with compassion, not aggression. There are specific techniques to follow up effectively without being seen as a nuisance. Lastly, different customers have different personalities. Some are different some are analytical, some are relationship oriented, and some are very managerial and social. Understanding these personality types is crucial, and we'll discuss this more in future sessions. In the meantime, here is a task. I want you to think about the customers you've encouraged and the types of personalities they have. Share your experiences with me so we can discuss and learn from each other. Maybe some customers are fearful and others are bold. Let's bring these insights together to improve how we approach different types of buyer. I hope you can have a really good time. Take care of yourselves and bye.